see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. The quest for true love on TV. It's a gripping spectacle on The Bachelor, and it might be even more gripping on Unreal, the dark scripted drama about a dating show called Everlasting. And today, the fourth season of Unreal is surprise premiering, and we couldn't be more excited to see what happens to producer Rachel Goldberg and the cast and crew of Everlasting.
So today we're talking to one of the most recognizable faces of Unreal, every Bachelor fan's favorite scripted drama, star Shiri Appleby, who plays Everlasting producer Rachel Goldberg. Thanks so much for joining us, Shiri.
Thanks so much. Excited to talk with you guys.
Yeah, we wanted to start by asking about kind of the big elephant in the room. Why a big surprise premiere? What was the thinking behind that, especially so soon after the last season?
I think that Hulu just wanted to give the fans what they wanted, which was, you know, the next season of the show and give the show a proper send-off.
What's it been like working with Hulu so far?
This show has been on Hulu since the beginning. It's been our digital streaming service, and it feels like we've had a really nice audience there. And I think it's pretty exciting. It definitely feels elevated. And we're just happy that, you know, they came in and sort of saved the day for us.
And you guys had taped the last two seasons at one time. Is that right?
No. And there was about a 6 or 8 month break in between the two seasons. But Lifetime had been holding our show for so long after we shot it before airing it. So that's why we have these two seasons back to back.
Okay, got it. That makes sense. So what can we expect generally from this season of Unreal?
Well, I mean, we're definitely tying up a lot of the emotional stories between Rachel and Quinn. Rachel is really on a quest to find love and find a life outside of Everlasting, to the point that she's, you know, dyed her hair blonde to make herself look like a contestant on the show, kind of tricking her mind into thinking that if she looks like one of those women, that she's going to find herself a husband and a happy ending.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, when we last left Rachel, she was sprawled out in the sun on a porch at a cabin, and then she's back and blonde. What yeah. is it about Everlasting that keeps pulling her back? Or was it, you know, Jeremy's proclamation at the end of last season that she's, you know, going to die alone? Did that really rattle her?
I think that rattled her. And I think that she is under this impression that maybe if she casts this all-star cast, she can bring back all of these contestants that she had some romantic history with herself. And she can sort of use it as a way to figure out who this husband of hers is going to be. And, you know, she really doesn't have much of a life outside of Everlasting walls. And Quinn is really the main relationship in her life. So I think really walking away was going to be next to impossible for her.
We see this really, as has been mentioned, glammed up Rachel this season. She's flirtier. What was it like to portray this new evolution of Rachel?
I mean, she's definitely flirtier and sexier, but then she's also like meaner and darker and like more at odds with herself. I mean, in some ways it was really fun because it was, you know, coming up with a character almost from scratch in many ways, except, you know, this like deep, dark history of hers. So that was really fun, and letting her just like spread her wings and try new things. As an actress, it was great because it really gave me the opportunity to stretch and see, you know, the lengths that I could push this character.
And this season features, as you alluded to, Everlasting All-Stars, which is mm-hmm. kind of similar in concept to, you know, Bachelor Pad, mm-hmm. Which has now morphed into Bachelor in Paradise. Although even, you know, Everlasting's version, as with everything, is a little more brutal. Mm-hmm. What is the appeal of that new format for you guys or for the story? Like, what new dynamics does that bring up?
Well, I think it like gave us an opportunity to bring back some storylines that had worked well in season three, like the August storyline and the Alexi storyline. So for, I think from a writing standpoint, it gave the writers a lot to work with. And then it also provided Rachel these, you know, other male suitors for herself that we didn't have to like create from the beginning. She could sort of pick up and explore. And I think it's pretty fun to see men and women in the house together and see those dynamics. I mean, we had done suitors, we had done sutresses. And so I think this, again, was just providing another way to comment on the Bachelor franchise.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Shiri. Okay. So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply. Rachel and Quinn, we've talked a little bit about their backstory. They've always had such a compelling story from season to season. We keep coming back to that. What are we going to see between them this season?
Well, this is really them at odds. Rachel has been kind of disappointed because Quinn really had nothing to do with prepping the season out, and she just feels like she's getting more and more selfish as her relationship with Chet is blooming. And so Rachel really feels like she doesn't need Quinn, and she's going to prove to her once and for all that she can be independent. So they're constantly at odds until the very end of the season.
Like, is there a world where they just, you know, sing Kumbaya and come together and, like, just love each other? Or is that, you know, too, a little too much to ask?
In the unreal sort of way.
Getting more tattoos together.
Yeah, something crazy.
I mean, these characters, season after season, just seem to kind of stay in their self-destructive ruts as hard as they try to get out of them.
Yeah.
Do characters like Rachel have the ability to evolve in a meaningful way, or are we just going to see them kind of spinning their wheels at everlasting forever?
No, I mean, hopefully you feel like by the end of the season and really the end of the series, that she's trying to make things right. And she's trying to say that, like, I'm better than who, like, these choices of myself. I mean, her plan may or may not backfire, but I really do feel like, at least in portraying her, I was trying to create this sense of, you know, I can be better than this. I can make better choices.
Yeah, and she is such a fascinating character in that respect. Like, you just can see, and your performance really conveys that she's kind of constantly battling with, you know, multiple versions of herself and, like, her best instincts and her worst instincts. It's fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And also the desire that she has to fulfill the expectations of the setting that she's in. And she resists that at times, mm-hmm. but then she keeps coming back to wanting to sort of make Quinn happy. So one thing that we have noticed as Unreal has gone on is that, you know, the real world reality TV has had to deal with this sort of age of transparency, social media leaks and so on. And we have heard more about the sausage and how it gets made. There was a really big scandal on Bachelor in Paradise last summer. That we all found out about in lurid detail. But on Everlasting, all this horrifying stuff happens all the time, and no one ever seems to find out. Is there a reality Steve in this world? Like, what would it look like for Unreal, for there to be that kind of reckoning?
Well, I mean, in, like, the four seasons, we had three deaths.
Yeah.
You would think that there would be some sort of, like, severe investigation happening when three people kind of, like, you know, fall, go down under, you know, during production. I mean, there would have to be, but again, it's kind of just like a TV show.
Yeah.
I don't know if the writers wanted to make it like a crime scene investigation.
Yeah. It's like the journalists in this world are not doing their jobs properly.
Yeah.
Where
clearly,
is TMZ?
The Everlasting world needs to move.
Yeah.
Yeah. <I agree. laughs> I mean, I think they have some thread of it during the fourth season, but it doesn't really take over.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that would make it a little bit more fun. It would be harder to root for if we were too deep, like, in a crime scene for half of the season.
Rachel's, like, going off in handcuffs. I don't know if that's the story the audience is looking for.
One thing that, you know, Claire and I really love about the show is that it seems to do a great job of really speaking directly to contemporary issues. And diving into things that maybe other television shows try to stay away from. Was there anything that comes up this season, or, like, any sort of, like, big issue or topic that you feel like this season really tried to dive into?
Well, we're really dealing with the rape still. Like, you know, last season really was, and we shot this before the Me Too moment or movement really even occurred, but it was really Rachel's journey of, like, confronting her rapist. And so then in this season, Rachel brings back a contestant from the first season that was raped. So she brings back the person who raped her and the girl that was raped. And she helps set up a situation in which this young woman can stop him from raping someone else.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So yeah. I was definitely shocked and surprised that this is the story we were taking on. But this is the story, you know, the big, I would say, like, headline of what happens in the season.
I mean, is it challenging to deal with material that feels, I mean, in the case of the Me Too situation, you made the season before it really happened, but it ended up feeling sort of ripped from the headlines. What are the challenges in dealing with material that's so bound up in what's going on in the real world?
I mean, you're just taking on such, like, heavy material that obviously you just, never want to like offend anybody or make, you know, like make light of things that feel like very poignant and personal. So I think, you know, and as an actor, it's not like you don't really have a say or a voice in what the conversation of the show is going to be. So you kind of like, as an actor, I'm just kind of trying to make sense of like why the character is making these choices, and somehow in a way that you can like sympathize or root, or at least not like detest what this person is doing.
Yeah.
That's kind of like at least my job in telling that story.
Have you had any situations where you or any of the other cast have pushed back on something because it didn't feel like it was sensitive enough, or it wasn't, didn't ring true?
Yeah, like you can voice your concerns, of course, but by the time the scripts or the material reaches you as an actor, everyone at the studio and network and all the writers have signed off. So, I mean, you can like push back and just be like, you know, you can say things, but at the same time, like it's sort of your job to just perform it.
Right. Are you doing any directing on this season?
So I directed 2 episodes this season. I directed episode 3, and then I also directed the season/series finale.
Oh, wow.
So I really had my hands full. We did 8. Yeah, it was awesome. We did 8 episodes. I got to direct 2 of the 8. And you know, it's just like with every episode that I'm directing, obviously it's more experience and I feel more and more confident and also capable of like being more creative and having more fun with it. And so I'm really hoping that I continue to get more opportunities as my career continues to move forward.
Yeah. The season finale and the series finale, that's a huge deal. What did it feel like to have that kind of on your shoulders?
It was just, I was really honored. Like they originally gave me episode 3 and then episode 6. And then before we started shooting, they called and they said, we'd actually like to give you the finale. And I just took it as a huge compliment that they would obviously trust me and want me to direct, such a big episode of the show. And, you know, at least for me being like, you know, number one on the call sheet to star the show, you're always having a tremendous amount of like responsibility to making sure the episode turns out great. And in some ways, I just felt like I got to bring a passion and an excitement to the last 7 days of shooting and really give it everything I had. So it really made me feel, you know, like really like it was a way for me to like say goodbye in so many ways to this whole journey.
Yeah, that's really, really beautiful, actually. I love that. I completely love that.
You think?
I mean, what was it like running a set in the midst of, you know, the Me Too moment and a lot of revelations coming out about the entertainment industry, and also making a show that depicts all of these abuses happening on a set? It must have just felt so meta for you.
Oh, for sure felt meta. And it's so interesting because when we made the 3rd season, when Rachel goes on that journey, it hadn't happened yet. And then we came back and shot the 4th season and it happened. And then all of a sudden, for the first time in my career, you're having someone from the studio come up to give like sexual harassment classes. And wow. Everyone, like the men, you know, and our show is like provocative, like women are in bathing suits all the time. So are the men, people are constantly making out. And so there was this level of, like everyone is so much more aware of not saying anything that could be offensive or commenting or in a way that I've never experienced. Like you could just, you feel the effects of it on sets now.
Yeah. I was going to ask, you know, you've been in this industry for a long time. You've been working regularly since you were very young. Have you had, you know, any interesting conversations with male peers or colleagues of yours recently that you, you know, hadn't had in your earlier years?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, it's just totally changed. Like men are even afraid to say like, you look nice or you look pretty when you come out of like hair and makeup to walk on set. And like before, the men would the producers would like constantly say things, but that's kind of a way that they would just like butter the actresses up and make them feel secure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like now you can't even really tell a woman in that environment that she looks pretty.
Yeah, navigating a whole different way of keeping actors and actresses feeling comfortable.
Yeah. It's like totally changed. And like when you're doing sex scenes, it's like so like by, like, it's always like a little bit by the numbers, but there's a, like a level heightened of it. And they make you sign paperwork now for like kissing scenes.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Like things have changed.
Do you see things getting more comfortable on set, or do you think that we're in a period where things are just going to be awkward as there's an adjustment?
No. I mean, like when I was younger and you were wearing like tight skirts on set, you would have like crew members taking pictures behind your back.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like there's no way things like that would happen. And I'm talking about 20 years ago. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like I didn't have any like really bad cases. So I'm grateful, but I'm just saying like for sure the environment's changed.
Right.
And I think it's going to make it feel definitely much more professional. There's no way for it not to now because so much is at stake.
And it is a profession. So
yeah.
It's a job.
Yeah.
It's a job. You know what I mean? It's like you're going to the office. Your office just happens to be a set.
Yeah, probably best for it to feel professional when you're in a professional setting. Yeah.
Probably for the best.
And what is it like to be that number one person on the call sheet and also be directing the episode? Like how are you directing yourself?
You know, episodic TV moves really quickly. So even when you're not directing yourself, there's like a level of preparedness where you have to come in and just like shoot so people can make their days and go home, especially like we shoot 7 days an episode. So you're shooting 9 pages a day. Every day. So like, I felt like the responsibility felt heavier in the sense that I was the one in charge and I was actually like able to make the machine happen. But in many ways that made me feel, I don't know, I just really enjoyed that like pressure. And being able to use, you know, I've been acting since I was a kid. So being able to like use everything I've learned to make the day happen and finishing on time and, you know, not going over budget and people giving good performances, that just kind of fires me up. So, you know, you feel like the sense of just wanting to make something great. But I think you feel that as any member of the cast and crew on the show.
Yeah.
Or at least you should hope so.
Yeah, one hopes so. So this is the show's final season. You're saying goodbye to Rachel, as you mentioned. What are you going to miss most about playing her?
Her wardrobe.
It's a great wardrobe.
Great wardrobe. Always kind of knew what I was wearing. It was very easy. I understood why Steve Jobs wore the same thing every day. And, you know, it's like when you find your thing with the character, you like, you know, you're creating another like being. And so when it's over, you're just like, it's kind of sad that I'm not going to like have that creative outlet with that person again. But, you know, and I thought we had like a great camaraderie. It was great working with Constance. It was great working with Jeffrey and Craig and Josh and everyone affiliated with the show. And it was also like a really, they gave me so much opportunity. I got to direct 4 episodes of TV. I had an overall deal producing. And so it was like just a really great experience. So I think just overall, I feel like really grateful to have had it.
What do you hope that audiences that have kind of followed this journey for 4 seasons take away from the show as a whole?
That reality TV is not real.
Yeah, kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it ain't real.
Is there anything else that you want to add or, you know, leave fans with as we kind of say goodbye to Unreal?
Oh my God. I hope everyone enjoyed the ride. It was definitely wild. Thanks for watching. And thank you for Hulu for giving us a proper send off.
Shiri, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this.
Thanks so much. It was nice chatting with you ladies. Hopefully our paths will cross soon.
Yes, I hope so. Always a delight. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Shiri Appleby, and of course to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson. The premiere of Unreal is streaming now and for the next 2 weeks on HuffPost, and the rest of the season is available on Hulu.
Do you love Here to Make Friends and never want to miss an episode? Find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to subscribe and give us a rating. 5 stars, please. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so please like us. You can also find us both individually on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or, of course, you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow for your Tuesday afternoon recap.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.